Insurgent Radio Network calling. Insurgent Radio Network calling. This is Terrible Tommy. Tom Metzger. In the heartland, in the bunker. Right here in north central Indiana, transmitting to the world and all the ships at sea. And all the satellites up in the sky, baby. Yeah, we got the wolf calls going. Have you heard the wolf call in your community? If you have a CB radio, we'll put the wolf call on. Let's get them howling everywhere around the country on Channel 5. Yeah, right. Yeah. P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. And address your mail to occupant, box holder, Tom Metzger, insurgent, or whatever yanks your crank, baby. Yeah. Transmitting to the world.
Terrible Tommy.
Tom Esther.
Terrible Tommy. Terrible Tommy.
Boy, I thought that intro would never end. That's a long intro, boy. Yeah. Terrible Tommy here, and it's Wednesday, Wotan's Day, January 2014, and that's David Lane's favorite day. That's right. Don't forget our buddy David Lane. He gave it all for you and me. That's right. Never forget, the Federals killed him just as much as if they'd have put a gun to his head. They murdered poor David. That's right. That's because you've got a criminal government. You've got a goon squad government. They got local goons, state goons, federal goons, offshore goons. They even have hired mercenaries. It's called the United States Armed Forces. Yeah, they don't want to admit it, but if these young guys would look in the mirror and see what they've been doing for the last 40 years around the world, they'd know that they're nothing but hired mercenaries. They're not fighting for the country. They're not fighting for you. They're not even fighting for their own families. They're fighting for the corporations, predatory corporations and crooked politicians. When are you going to get it straight? When are you going to get it straight, boys and girls? Well, I've got great news for you boys and girls that want it straight from the horse's mouth. And so I got on my Tom Terrific Wayback Machine and went over to Auschwitz, where they're having a big clam bake this week, all week. And I was able to chase down Benjamin Netanyahu, the nitwit. Yeah, the warmonger Israeli. I found him over there, and he talked to me. So I'm going to play you the interview back. It's about, I think, about 8 minutes. So here we go. This is probably a first. I don't think he's ever been interviewed by an anti-Semite. I mean, one that's critical of the Jews. Catch up with you. I traveled all the way from the United States over here to Auschwitz to talk to you.
You traveled all the way? What are we over?
Yeah. Traveled over here, and last leg was rough. I had to go through some Al-Qaeda, and they were shooting my ass thinking I was a kike like you.
Oh, you funny boy. You must be cousin of Rabbi Metzger from Jerusalem.
No, we're not related. He stole my family name and took it off to Jewland. That's what happened. Anyhow, you're down here. We're having this celebration. I mean, this ceremony, this commemoration of the Holocaust down here at Auschwitz. Are you going to speak today?
Yeah, I'm going to speak. Yeah. I always speak at these things because we bring lots of money in. Lots of donations. You'll see most of these people around Auschwitz here are not Christians. They're not even Jews. That's the funny part.
Boy, I'll tell you, you seem to be a happy guy, BB. The Palestinians put out the other day that you were you had Nazi genes. Now, what do you say about that?
Nazi genes? Yeah, I bought them at Walmart. Yeah, got a deal. Bought a whole carload.
But they seem to be a little short on you.
Yeah, they shrink. They shrink. They pinch my balls, too. But you know, we got them so cheap, a good Jew price, that I couldn't turn them down.
Oh. Well, I don't know whether I'd want to wear shrunken up jeans around pinching my balls. I mean, well, that's up to you. Now, Mr. Netanyahu, Mr. Nitwick, I see a lot of people that are not here right at Auschwitz, but they're in the fields around here at Auschwitz, and they're down there digging in the ground. They've got shovels and rakes and all kinds of stuff. What are they doing?
Well, Metzger, they say that they accuse us of hiding the ashes and the bones from all those millions of people that were burned up in the ovens. And there's a bunch of crazy people from Europe come down here, and they're looking for the bones and the ashes, and they say they haven't found them. Well, I mean, that's no problem, because Jehovah took them up into the sky, into the heaven, and rescued all the bones and the ashes. So you're never going to find the thousands of bones, tons of bones and ashes that were left over from the scorching of the heaves. I mean, my brothers. Well, I don't know. That'd be pretty hard to prove that your God Jehovah, your Yahweh, that came down and got all those thousands of tons of ashes and broken bones. It's pretty hard to believe. I've got another question here. People wonder why a country that God's favorite people and is protecting them and everything, how come you have all these atomic bombs and rockets and poison gas and everything like that? And I thought you were supposed to be a nation of peace.
Well, that's what we tell the Goyim.
The Goyim, yeah.
We create the God, and then the God's mid us.
Yeah, right. That's the way you do it, see? You dumb Goyim. If you had brain, you would do that. When you imported our religion crap into Europe, you got it all fouled up. You got it all fouled up. So we got plenty of atomic bombs, and we'll use them on whoever we want, because we are... Well, we made God, and God made uns, and we're going to do it, and if we want to. So take it or leave it, baby. Isn't that BB? Isn't that BB? I've heard a lot of rumors, too, that you don't like niggers in your country, and you're shoving them back out as fast as they try to come in.
Well, there's no niggers here. There's only Schwarzers. Only Schwarzers in Israel, yeah. And they come in here trying to get a free meal and... free, you know, food stamps, you know, we shove their ass right out. The IDF takes care of that for us, yeah. Yeah, right. Oh, boy, yeah, we take care of those Schwarzers real quick, man. Since we don't call them niggas, that's okay.
One problem I've seen here in Israel, there's a lot of people living on the streets and below the poverty line, and all these Jews in New York City that live under the poverty line. Last I heard, there was about 250,000 Jews in New York living below the poverty line. Bibi, how come you haven't sold a couple of those atomic bombs and fed those people?
You crazy? You crazy, man. We have a class system in Jew.
Yeah, just like you do. You know, ruling class, Untermenschen. And 250,000 Untermenschen Jews, you think we're going to feed them? You feed them. You feed them. You like them? You feed them. I've got another question, Mr. Netanyahu. Now, the Christian Zionists in my country, Christ Insanity people, they say that at the end, if you'll accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal savior, you Jews will be saved, and you won't go to hell, and you won't burn in everlasting fire. I thought you loved each other, but it sounds to me like at the end, if you're a stubborn Jew, you're going to be swimming, doing a backstroke in the sea of fire. What do you think?
Well, that's a crazy Christians and crazy bastards. They're giving us billions of dollars. The churches are all preaching for us and everything. How do you think we got the atomic bombs and the rockets and the 747s that we give to the preachers over there? It's all bullshit, Mr. Metzger. It's all bullshit, yeah. Just like my that Rabbi Metzger over there in Jerusalem, we got him for fraud and all that stuff. Just like the Pope in the Vatican, all of the cardinals are getting crooked and taking the money. Don't you understand how the game is played, Mr. Metzger?
Well, I'm beginning to, BB, and it doesn't sound too good for the people of the world, the working class people of the world. I'm going to get out of here because... these people aren't finding any fragments of the bones or ashes. And I don't know where you took them or where you put them, but they don't seem to be there. But they got to be somewhere, unless you're
Yahweh God that you created, and it created you and took them off into the sky. What do you think?
Yeah, you get on out of here, Metzger. You're pissing me off. I'm going to get the IDF on you, and the ADL, and Abe Foxman's going to come to your house when you get home, because we don't like you.
Well, but you will let me interview you once in a while, right?
Oh, yeah. I like to show the people how stupid you are. Oh, you goyim stupid.
Well, screw you too, BB. I'll be back.
Well, what do you think of that? I'm surprised I got that interview. I wanted to go over there and see this place, never been over there, and wanted to look around for all those bone fragments and ashes, those tens of thousands of tons that should have been left over from the Holocaust, but nobody's finding anything. I mean, they had people digging up for acres and acres around Auschwitz. They found nothing. They even took some special equipment and checked the rivers and the banks of the rivers and everything. They found no trace. So that must be one of those Jew miracles where their God, Jehovah, Yahweh, did come down and take all those bone fragments and ashes up into the heavens. How about that? Well, let's get on to the news here. If you like my interviews, I'll be doing some more because there's a lot of people need to be interviewed. I think I'm going to interview some of these Schwarzers, as BB calls them, and we call them thugs and niggers and you name it. But anyhow, as the days and weeks go on, we're going to interview a bunch more of these people. Well, I just got an email in here from some people called the Iron Wolves. I don't recall being connected with them before, but they asked me, Tom, I was curious if you and Jim Wickstrom ever set up a web-based interview on TalkShoe or some other web-based program. Well, I don't think we did. I may have interviewed him on my show. I think there's a show back there someplace between him and me. He goes on to say, I know he called you by telephone weeks ago, but I never heard the two of you actually have a conversation on either on your www.resist.com program or on his Yahweh's Truth Talk Shoe program. Well, I'm not sure. Maybe somebody else out there remembers. I'll ask my webmaster. I'm certainly hoping the two of you have some program available where you both interview each other, which fans like myself can listen to on the web. Please let me know, and thanks for all your hard work in the defense of white people. Well, I answered him, and I said, Jim and I have talked privately from time to time, and I think I did a show with him, but I don't recall when. One problem we have is that I'm a freethinker or an atheist, which is 180 degrees out of phase with Jim's beliefs. But I would have no problem doing a show with him. We have a lot of other things we can talk about. So that's what I had to say about that. So we'll see what happens. Let's see here. What happened to my recorder here? There it is. Well, happy day. I see in German came through here this morning that there's a young man by the name of Tom Metzger in the Olympics. Doing pretty good so far, I guess. So how about that? I hope I don't ruin his career. No, wait a minute. He might ruin mine. Well, I see some people are going up against Monsanto. Critics of genetically modified crops protested at Monsanto Company's annual shareholders meeting on Tuesday, calling for the world's largest seed company to provide a report on contamination in non-GMO crops and to stop fighting mandatory labels on foods containing GMO ingredients. The request came in the form of two shareholder resolutions that were backed by environmental, food safety, and consumer activist groups. Both shareholders' resolutions failed to pass after Monsanto officials recommended rejection of the proposal. Well, that's neat. Dictatorship right there. GMO critics say the spread of the genetically modified crops is harmful to the environment, most notably by fostering herbicide-resistant weeds. and that food made with the crops can be harmful to humans. The most popular GMO crops are corn and soybeans that have had their DNA altered in ways that allow the plants to withstand sprayings of herbicide and to resist pests. Well, I'm surrounded in the fields around me by corn and soybean production, so I'm probably getting a whole snout full of that Monsanto poison drifting across the fence. Wow, man, I got to get a gas. Well, wait a minute, I have a gas mask. I better start wearing it. Well, remember Anders Breivik, the young man who blew away about, 25, 30 people over there on an island? I think it was an island over there in, was it Norway or Sweden? Well, anyhow, from his prison cell, the confessed mass murderer, I wouldn't call 30 people a mass murder, it's a lot of people, but anyhow, Anders Behring Breivik, in January 2014, circulated a letter in which he repudiated all association with the counter-jihad and the anti-Islamists. He gloated over how easy it was to fool the Western mainstream media, MSM, not MSN, as in Nancy, into supporting his intended witch hunt on peaceful anti-Islamists. This is a piece out of his letter. The idea was to manipulate the MSN and others so that they would launch a witch hunt and send their media rape squads against our opponents. It worked quite well. I tried to hint about this double psychology by quoting "war is deceit" a number of times, but I couldn't make it more obvious, as it had to be credible to the aggressive army of 2,000 media psychopaths, the MSN rape squad, and the hug your opponents, kick the ones you love tactic is one of the oldest in the book. Well, they're having a big argument now. Is Breivik insane or is he not? The forensic psychiatrist Sine Sorheim and Tugger Husby declared Breivik insane. Their conclusion was controversially overturned by the Oslo, Norway District Court in August 2012, after political and media pressure. Sorheim and Husby noted his frequent use of neologisms, made-up words or phrases, as one of many indications that he suffers from paranoid schizophrenia. I don't really see that connection myself. A lot of people use made-up words and so forth if they don't have a big vocabulary, even myself.
No, I'm not paranoid schizophrenic. Not me.
Well, wait a minute. Calm down. They were mocked for this claim, yet one examines the way Breivik uses the term double psychology. In the above quote, this is kind of a neologism that one would expect from somebody suffering from schizophrenia. Reverse psychology might be a real term, but I've never seen the term double psychology. Well, so what? He communicated his thoughts, and so what's the difference? Being used in this manner or context by any sane person, regardless of his political views. Do you mean by saying reverse psychology, it might not be a real term? Well, we've been using it for a long time. But I've never seen the term double psychology being used in this manner by any sane person. Well, the poor English people speak in this country. I mean, are you saying everybody's schizophrenic in the whole United States? Inventing new words is normal for children. They have a vivid imagination and haven't yet learned the proper use of the language. Yet, for an adult, the extensive use of neologisms consistently displayed by Breivik is a common symptom of psychotic disorders, such as schizophrenia. People suffering from this illness invent an alternative language in order to describe the alternative reality inside their own head. You know what I think? These psychiatrists and psychologists, they're insane. They're more insane than the people they're studying. I'm telling you, weird, man. Whatever happened to the guy just got pissed off and uncorked, took his gun and shot a whole bunch of people. Seemed like the right thing to do for him at the time. I don't know. I think people try to use insanity too much. I don't believe it most of the time. Unless you want to say that most of the population's partly insane. I could go along with that. What is that moron, speaking of psychopaths, John McCain, what is that idiot, warmongering bastard doing over there injecting a bunch of crap into the Ukrainian struggle? What the hell is that all about? And he took a Democrat over there with him, a guy named Murphy. Let's listen to what he had to say. I get sick of these American senators and congressmen. They go over and give the impression they're speaking for me. John McCain never spoke for me in his life.
Goes through peaceful protest. It is people that make change. And you are making history.
Repeat, Maidan. Repeat, Ukraine.
I am a Republican. Senator Murphy is a Democrat. We are here together speaking for the American people in solidarity with you.
We are here because your peaceful process and peaceful protest is inspiring your country and inspiring the world.
And the destiny you seek lies in Europe. Ukraine will make Europe better, and Europe will make Ukraine better.
Well, McCain's over there supporting Ukraine going into the EU, making a deal with the EU. And as far as I'm concerned, any of those countries that make deals with the EU are out of their minds. And Greece, all of them, they should stay out of that EU. Because if you want to see a kike Jew-controlled outfit, the EU is really one, man. I'll tell you. The Ukraine would be better off sticking with the close ties to Russia. Yeah, and hold their nose and keep their ties with Russia. And McCain, you silly old senile bastard, will you just die? I see they got some pretty big parades now in Paris and in France saying, Jews, get out. Jews, get out. That's interesting. Very interesting. It seems to be becoming very popular. But I hope they say, Islamics, get out too. If you're going to just say Jews, get out, and you're going to be stuck with all these Islamics breeding like rats, you got the same, worse, probably even a worse problem demographically. Don't forget, the Islamists breed like rabbits. They're about the same, if not more, breeders than the Schwarzers, the Negroes, the thugs. Well, here's some audio footage of this anti-Jewish marching going on right now in France and Paris, I assume.
Thank you.
the Jews put up a website on this situation in Europe and France, and it says a lot of things. Yesterday, the day before the Holocaust Memorial Day, numerous feral anti-Jews, described in this report as neo-Nazis and Muslims, took to the streets of Paris for a so-called anti-Jewish hate day. Hat tipped Jean Vescors for following pictures of this group. And they put a bunch of pictures up. Let's see here. You can't see the pictures. Maybe I could send them to you. In the following video, the loathsome scum can be seen giving the neo-Nazi quenelle salute, popularized by the repellent Dieudonné, and can be heard chanting, Juif la France n'est pas toi. Jew, France is not yours. And in mockery of the Holocaust, Shonanas. Oh, things are changing fast. To quote this site, where anti-Jew videos by Duden are to be found, no wonder the Jews of France don't feel secure in the land of liberty, equality, and fraternity anymore. There's something deeply, deeply rotten in the fabric of France. It is French Jewry's tragedy. It is also France's. Weep for Marianne. Weep for the Republic. Save us, Jews. Save us, Jews. Yeah, baby. Well, I just was putting a message on this Jewish website that's crying about what's going on in France. And the message was, the chickens of 100 years seem to be coming home to roost. Working class Jews, you're being led to the slaughter by ruling class Jews and Christian Zionists. And I went to send it, and it came back up with a big caution stop sign that says, URL contains illegal characters. Okay, what's illegal in that message? According to French Jews, I guess, would it be Christian Zionists? We'll take that out and see whether it goes through. Well, I took that out, and it still said contains illegal characters. So I've got chickens of 100 years seem to be coming home to roost. Working class Jews, you're being led to the slaughter by the ruling class. Well, let me take out some more here and see what happens. Just a minute here. The chickens of 100 years seem to be coming home to roost. Let me see if that goes through. Oh, that contains illegal characters too. So it looks like I can't post on this this website. Oh, that's too bad. Well, here's another boo-hoo Jew study. The report on anti-Jewish atmosphere is sweeping over the world. Jewish communities around the world are living with a sense of growing anti-Jewism. Although 2013 did not record a significant increase in the number of violent attacks on Jews and their property, according to an annual report released by Israel's Information of Diaspora Ministry. The report, which was presented to the cabinet on Sunday by Minister Naftali Bennett, says the soul rather than the body is the main victim of the new wave of anti-Jewism. According to estimates, the situation on the ground has become much worse. According to the report, which is mostly based on the database and research of the Kantar Center for the Study of Contemporary European Jewry at Tel Aviv University, the feeling among the world's Jewry stems from the severity of verbal, visual expressions, insults, harassment, and threats Jews encounter in their daily life, which creates a situation that is becoming more and more difficult, the report says. What they're saying is because more and more people are speaking up and telling the truth about how the Jews operate and how the big money Jews operate on Wall Street and in the city of London and all over the world, and they're expressing these feelings, and to that is anti-Semitic. Truth is anti-Semitic. Quote, the murky atmosphere contributes to a change in European Jews' point of view towards their country and surroundings and strengthens their personal insecurity. Addressing the situation in Europe, the report mentions the results of a survey commissioned by the EU's Agency for Fundamental Rights in 2013, according to which 66% of Jews see anti-Judaism as a problem affecting their lives, and 76% believe it has worsened in the recent years. 38% of the respondents said they are afraid of falling victim to an anti-Jewish attack and do not leave the house with identifying symbols like a skull cap or a Star of David. 23% do not participate in Jewish events for fear of being targeted on the way. And 20% are even considered immigrating from their country due to the growing anti-Judaism. According to the same survey, about one quarter of the Jews experienced an incident in the previous year which included a verbal insult. Oh, my God. And nearly, boy, I'll tell you, I've had a lot of verbal insults over the last year. I'm not screaming, I'm not crying in my beer. And nearly half of the respondents expressed their concern that they would fall victim to an anti-Jew incident in the following year. Yeah, the son of a bitch stepped on my Jewish foot. Getting on the subway, man, he stepped on my foot. Get him. Nuremberg, get him to Nuremberg. Nonetheless, 77% avoided reporting the incidents, assuming that they would not be taken care of, the report says. In most cases, it is possible to track the number of violent incidents, like vandalism against public and private property and attacks on individuals, but only if the victims report them. Yet in the light of failure to report the incidents, it is certain that the monitoring bodies are only aware of a small part of the overall picture. Run for your lives, Jaime. Run for your lives. It's over. It's over. Well, you know what caused most of this? It's your kosher ally, the United States and Israel, fighting over the oil in the Middle East, causing bullshit everywhere they go, pissing people off, the common people, which the money doesn't even get down to the common people in the Middle East. And so they're rebelling. It starts with the economy. I've told you over and over, all racial and religious struggles start with the economy. And then they go on from there. So what do you expect? I mean, the people over there, they know the United States has controlled the Congress by kikes and the Senate. And whatever Israel wants, Israel gets. And so we're stomping all over the people in the Middle East. So people are rising up all over the world. I mean, you know, what do you expect, dummies? Boy, while everybody's watching the Ukraine and so forth, they're raising hell in Africa like mad. I mean, they're killing hundreds at a time down there in Nigeria. And the headline on this one article says, God damn it, we want U.S. troops here, millions of them, and huge sums of Nigerian oil for the Pentagon. This was Boko Haram used explosives and heavy guns to attack a village and worshippers during a Christian church service in Nigeria, northeast. Now, of course, we're going to have to get involved big time. We're going to have to send a lot of troops over there to protect these so-called nigger Christians, killing at least 99 people, razing hundreds of homes, officials witness said Monday. The attacks in Borno and Adamawa states resulted in one of the highest death tolls in recent attacks by Boko Haram, who are defying the 8-month-old military state of emergency in 3 states in northern Nigeria. This is a religion. I mean, they're all black there, so it's not technically a race thing. It can be partially tribal. But what it is the Muslims want to kill the Christians, and the Christians want to kill the Muslims. Here we go again. But yet nobody will, really, very few people will come out and say, religion is our problem. It is a major problem everywhere. Oh, no, it's racism. Oh, black Africans against black Africans, that's racism. But we're sending more and more troops to Africa, quietly, quietly behind the scenes. Yes, we are. That's why they created that whole African command that, funny, they put it up into Europe. But I think they're going to have to move it from Europe down into Africa because it's heating up big time. And, of course, we want all your young men here from this country, all your good white boys, to go over there and fight for the niggers in Africa. Now that you're partially done fighting for the Islamic brown-skinned people in the Middle East, mostly, well, just you're not going home. We're going to pull you out of Afghanistan, put you on a boat, well, put you on a whatever we can put you on. You're going down to Africa, boy, and save Rastas. You've got to save Rastas. And then, of course, the State Department's got to bring thousands and thousands of more niggers from this strife-torn area and these Christian niggers over here to the United States. Oh, it's going to be wonderful. We're going to take care of everybody. There's a very important article that you need to read that brings you up to speed on the history of a lot of this European stuff going back before World War II and the connections between National Socialism and the Islamics in the Middle East and so forth. They mentioned this man, Junot, quite a bit, who was an attorney. And I had some contact with him during the time when Willis Carter was fighting the Jews to get that inheritance from the Edison fortune. After Gene Farrell died, was his own fault because Willis Carto was so penny pincher that the deal was made that Gene Farrell lived, I believe it was in Austria over there someplace, Switzerland or someplace, and she was going to give her money to the struggle against the Zionists and Jews and others, and was going to put it in the hands of Willis Carto of Liberty Lobby. But the deal was, since she lived alone and she just had a housekeeper, that Willis Carto was supposed to call and check in with her at least once a week to see how she was doing. Well, anybody that knows Willis Carto knows he's cheap. He talks about Jews being cheap. He's as cheap as any Jew I ever met. Well, anyhow, he failed to do that. And it turned out that the housekeeper was tied in with the B'nai B'rith being paid or whatever. And Gene Farrell died. And the B'nai B'rith moved in very quickly to block all the bank accounts around the world where Jean Farrell had put her money because she didn't trust banks. So she put them in some banks all over the world instead of one bank, her money. And so the Jews were blocking this money getting to Carto, supposedly go to the Institute for Historical Review. But due to him and a man named Miller from Australia, they sort of cornered the money themselves. But in the meantime, they spent thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars on lawyers to break these accounts loose and get the money. So probably half of the Edison fortune was wasted on lawyers and so forth, trying to get it back when it was simply the stupidity of Willis Carto and his stinginess that put him in that situation. I think I talked to Junot, the lawyer, one time. He was in charge of the Goebbels estate, and he's been a key player all over. Willis Carto tried to get Junot to intercede for him on this money that was locked up in all these banks, but typically Willis Carto wanted him to do it out of the goodness of his heart. And through a third party, I was told, Junot told him, look, I got a family to feed. I got to have some money to do all this. So he wouldn't help Carto out for it. I don't know how much they ended up ever getting out of that Gene Farrell estate. But I know it went down a rat hole, a lot of some projects of Cardo's that never got off the ground. And this Miller that he worked with, I believe his name was Henry Miller. I'm not sure about that. This Australian, he took off with a whole bunch of that money, and he was living in France. Then he came back. He was living about 20 miles from where I was. And early on, I made contact, and after he'd gone on the outs with Willis Gardo, and he had an estate down in Escondido, California, and he invited me down. I went down, and he laid out the whole thing about the whole rotten mess and what Cardo was doing and how he was grabbing the money. But, of course, at the same time, Miller was getting his hands on money, too. Miller was the editor of the Catholic newspaper, The Tidings, I believe it was, in Los Angeles, California. But then after there was a breakup with the Institute for Hysterical Review people and Cardo, and I knew the attorney that was handling it for the anti-Cardo forces that were trying to get their money to run the Institute for Historical Review. Let's see here. Let me think. Get my thoughts straight here. Anyhow, they knew where Cardo was, but Miller went on the lam. I think Mrs. Cardo banked a whole lot of money over in London and got that out of sight. But Miller got a whole bunch of that money and took off. And, in fact, the people who ran the lawyer for the Institute for Historical Review asked me if I'd try to find Miller. And so we did everything we could. We tracked him to France and all around the place. But that turned out to be a dry hole. And, of course, I went back to his house in Escondido, California, and he'd flown the coop. He had a very nice wife and a daughter and so forth like that. But another con man that's taken the right-wing money that was supposed to go for fighting these international kikes and absconded with most of it. Most of it was wasted due to incompetence of the right wing. Anyhow, I was in the middle of all that and was listening to both sides, all sides. And I knew all about the Gene Farrell thing and the whole mess long before it became big knowledge around the right wing. And a lot of the shakers and makers of the right wing leadership, they never want to listen to Tom Metzger. And I knew all about this stuff. I knew everything, where it was going, where the money was going. And I was talking about it, and they ignored me. And then finally, all of a sudden, they discovered, oh, my God, the Gene Farrell estate is down the tube, and Cardo's doing this, and Miller's doing that. I said, well, I knew that 3 or 4 years ago, you idiots, but you didn't listen to me. So anyhow, that's a little background on my connection, involvement in this kind of stuff. And I was offered a finder's fee to track down Miller, but it became such a crazy-ass waste of time that I bailed out on that. And I have no use for either side in the argument between the Institute for Hysterical Review and Cardo. I see bad stuff on both sides. And most of the people in the Institute for Hysterical Review, I call them Hysterical Review. That's my joke. They're race mixers. They're homosexuals. They're, escapes my mind right off, but that cult party that has become a big deal all over the world, started by that science fiction writer. Anyhow, one of the guys that took over the Institute for Historical Review was one of the main guys in there, and he was using the Institute for Historical Review to raise money for that cult. And in fact, I had him on my television show. Now, you can go back and find that I've interviewed two or three of these people. had David McAlden on a couple of times, and David McAlden was a guy that was a little hard to get along with, but he was the most honest guy that was involved with the Institute for Historical Review. But Tom, and I forget his last name, that took over after McAlden, he was definitely a true believer in Scientology, that's it. He was one of their movers and shakers in Scientology. They got several people involved in the Institute for Historical Review that were Scientologists, plus these guys that were married to non-whites and everything else. So I wrote those people off, and I wrote Cardo off a long time ago. Anyhow, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. And that's why some people don't particularly care for Tom Metzger, because I've been through it and I know where the skeletons are. I know where they're at. I know which closet to open. The thing that bothers me about this whole mess is it seems like everything's moving towards this pro-Islamic forget about the race, to where a large section of people who should know better are moving more into this Islamic camp at the detriment of the racial struggle. And I see it all the time. I hear it all the time now on the web. Guys are spending all their time going after the Jews and actually aligning themselves with these Islamics. And that's suicide for the race as far as I'm concerned. Like I said before, how's France going to better themselves by running all the Jews out, but keeping millions of mainly non-white Islamics. Same with England. I mean, you're going to drown in a sea of non-white people, and but no Jews. Well, I see the vice president of Greece has made his opinions known. Venizelos promises to isolate neo-Nazi elements from society. Now, that neo-Nazi thing, you know, that covers everybody. Anybody that's critical of the Jews or critical of the ruling class or anything else. So the government vice president addressed racism and anti-Semitism in Greece on the Holocaust Memorial Day. So you know that anything bad that happens to the central government of Greece is good. The government vice president, Evangelos Venizelos, expressed his conviction that the neo-Nazi elements which attack democracy and rule of law will be isolated by Greek society. In other words, the ruling class in Greece will use the army and police to try to eradicate our friends. Mr. Venizelos stressed that on the National Day of Remembrance of Greek Jewish Heroes, that would fit in a telephone booth, probably, and victims of the Holocaust, the Greek people honored the memories of the thousands of compatriots, Greek Jews who fell victim to Nazi atrocities. Well, a lot of people fell victims to a lot of atrocities back and forth on both sides. But we've got to cry all the time for the Jews. The vice president warned that the Greek government will take exception to denial of the Holocaust and fully implement existing anti-racist legislation. In other words, leave all the Middle Easterners, all the Africans come in, all the niggers come in. That's what he's saying. Mr. Venizelos concluded that the Greek state is taking the necessary steps to support the international efforts to combat anti-Jewism and honor the memory of the millions who perished in the Holocaust. Earlier in the day, the Minister of Public Order, Nikos Dendlas, deposited a wreath at the Greek Holocaust Memorial in Thessio and is scheduled to be a central speaker at Athens' Jewish community function at the Palace Theater. He knows where his bread is buttered on. Well, Golden Dawn, go for the throat. Quit playing around. Go for the throat. Dive deep and travel at periscope level and arm the torpedoes. That's the only way it's going to work. I guess this Venizelos was in Washington the last couple of weeks hobnobbing with that asshole Kerry, Secretary of State, and Lew meetings government vice president will discuss the progress of Greeks being raped by the EU as they want to commit suicide by joining up with the EU. The government vice president and minister of foreign affairs, Evangelos Vassilis, is currently in the USA, according to my news reports. And he's going to meet in Paris, Venizelos and Fabius, to meet in Paris on Monday. The Greek foreign minister is scheduled to visit the U.S. counterpart Kerry on Thursday. That was last Thursday, I believe. So he's lining up all his ducks to get sacrifice Greece on the EU burning bush. Well, I wasn't aware of this. Greece assumes the presidency of the European Union. Samaras vows to defend and support the interests of the European Union amid the global financial crisis. For 6 months, Greece will be at the helm of the European Union for the sixth time since the country was accepted into the EU. Well, they better get their ass out of there fast. It's going to have to come from the bottom. The people are going to have to revolt. Well, that's about it for today. Wotan's Day. I hope we gave you enough information there to keep you busy for a while. Terrible Tommy's signing off and clear in five words. Remember that, always. Five words. And what are the five words? I have nothing to say. I forgot. I don't remember if I told you yesterday or not. I don't think I did. I just sent a big law book out there to Craig Cobb. If you go to Abe Books, A-B-E Books, you can get a lot of good books cheap. Now, this book's about 300 or 400 pages on the law and how to handle yourself in court. And it was only $4, free shipping. So you should go up there to Abe Books. You can get about any book you want. And send some books to these prisoners, you know. That's what I'm doing, and you could do it too.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then. Who cares about the clouds if we're together? Just sing a song and bring the sunny weather. Happy trails to you till we meet again.
$14.5.